Hey there, and welcome back. Is that the right term I want to use right now? Welcome back. Welcome to the reboot of the Faith and Fitness Podcast. So we're trying something new here with the reboot. We are also going on to YouTube with the reboot. So here we go. This is the Faith and Fitness Podcast. On this first episode of the Faith and Fitness Podcast, we are going to talk about what's been going on. So obviously there's been a little bit of a hiatus and we're rebooting the podcast, a little bit of new insights, new energy, but the same exciting passion that we had from it from before. We're here to help you crush your fitness goals and your faith. So it doesn't matter if you're into powerlifting, functional fitness, marathon running, or even prayerful meditation. Hopefully we've got something here on the show for you. So what we're going to do is we're going to dive into topics like fasting and how that relates to both faith and fitness, looking at rest and recovery and how that ties into faith and fitness, things like goal setting, how that ties into faith and fitness, and how we can apply those things to our lives on a daily basis. So dust off your earbuds, headphones or whatever it is, or even maybe that remote control. Cause like I said, we're rebooting now. We're also not only going to be podcasting, but we're also going to be on YouTube. So here we go. On this first episode, we're going to be talking about, a concept here, and it's, an interesting one. We will discuss the Will Durant quote, which is obviously, which has been misattributed to Aristotle. And that quote is, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit." So that's what we're going to dig into on this first episode. So let's get after it. Now, with that said, the first thing that I want to talk to you guys about on this is that when I was in seminary, so maybe that's an update that I should share with you guys as well. That is that during COVID, I went through seminary. Earned a master's degree in church leadership. And so now, in addition to the master's degree in strength and conditioning that I already had, I've added now a master's degree in church leadership as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share something from you that I actually had to write during my time in seminary. So when I was in seminary, one of the courses that I had to take was called Spiritual Formation. And for that class, we had to do obviously different various readings. And one of the things that we discussed specifically in that class is the concept of our spiritual formation and where our spiritual formation came from. And one of the topics that was brought up regularly was with regards to theology and how our theology was formed. And I'm just going to shift this over a little bit, maybe. Perfect. And how our theology was formed. And a big part of how a lot of people's theology is formed is actually through worship that they learned. And so this is where that brought me to this quote with the Will Durant quote. So I'm just going to read you a little bit of what I wrote here. I'm not going to read it verbatim. I'm going to be a little bit more free-flowing with it. But it says, "I'm continually brought back to the Will Durant quote misattributed to Aristotle, which is, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit." So to reframe the Will Durant quote, theology, then, is not an act, but a habit. And if we can look at this and we can also reframe that with from our fitness perspective, then to reframe this is that fitness, then, is not an act, but a habit. So it's not a single thing, but it's a habit that we form. And that's going to tie into something else that I talk about a little later on in the show as well. So this phrase seemingly arguably perfectly captures the profound impact of repetitive actions like singing hymns or exercising, and how modern worship songs have on someone's religious perspectives and the values of setting and the importance of worship music, or the importance of this with regards to theology. This could also be argued in the same perspective from a fitness side of it. So how the little things that we do on a regular daily basis are what are the foundations for forming somebody's perspectives with regards to fitness as well. So with that, it's important to keep in mind that repetition is a big part of how we learn new things. Again, we can see how this ties into both faith and fitness. So that repetition of, you know, singing songs, like worship songs. When I was younger, I grew up in an Anglican church. So one of the things that was common for us was the reciting of creeds. So the repetition of every Sunday repeating the Apostles' Creed. Again, tie this into fitness. Important to keep in mind that the repetition is how we learn new things, right? So going and to the gym and practicing this. So now I've had the opportunity, again, as part of the update for you, I'm no longer living in Canada. My wife and I moved to the Netherlands. It's just coming up on the 2 years ago that we moved here to the Netherlands. So, ik spreek een klein beetje Nederlands for those listening, my Dutch followers who are listening. You guys know that I've been trying to learn and can speak a little bit of Dutch now. The podcast at this point in time, though, won't be in Dutch. Maybe one day we'll get there. But all that to say is that I've picked up a job working at a local CrossFit gym. And as part of that, I get to work with athletes on a regular basis. And most recently, there's been an athlete who's been really working on her specific technique in the functional fitness realm. It's called a butterfly pull-upper. And what that is a variation of a pull-up. So it allows you to cycle pull-ups faster. I'm not here to get into a discussion of whether we agree or disagree on if they're real pull-ups or not. But it is something that's used within the sport of functional fitness. And so she's been training this movement repeatedly, going in and repeatedly training this movement. And so again, it's been how she's been able to learn this by practicing and going back to it again and again. And that's what was coming to mind when I was thinking about this, is that it is important to keep in mind that repetition is a big part of how we learn things. So think of memorable jingles or advertising slogans. We tend to remember them because we hear them frequently. Like when it comes to worship music, theological principles are ingrained in the thoughts and the hearts of the congregation members through the internalization of the words while they sing. Therefore, I mean, this is a sidetrack here a little bit. I won't go too much into it, but worship leaders then significantly can affect the congregation's theology as they're the carriers of that message. So maybe if you're a worship leader, something for you to keep in mind. And this idea isn't brand new. The idea of repetition, obviously, when the quote's been attributed to Aristotle, so it's going back many years. Theological teachings have long been transmitted and reinforced by religious chanting and singing, a practice predating written texts, right? So it's an ancient technique that many civilizations and religions have utilized to persevere, to sorry, not persevere, well, I guess persevere as well, but to preserve and communicate difficult religious truth comprehensibly, but most importantly, so that they can be remembered, right? So now if I go back and think of the things that have been important to my life from a theological perspective, it was really interesting as I was studying this through seminary to go, hey, the theology that I have and the theology that I believe, what is this based on? So I said, I grew up in an Anglican church. And I was like, is my theology based on the fact that I had memorized the Apostles' Creed when I was younger? Is it based on that we did a lot of prayers and those way those prayers were done were sitting in a sort of rhythmic sort of fashion, and that we sung very similar songs on Sundays and what have you? And so did that help form my theology? And then I look at being part of summer camp through my youth and young adult life and go, how did that shape my theology? And now stepping into where I am as an adult and being aware of these things and saying, how are these things shaping my theology? Because they were ingrained into me from a repetitive perspective. Now, part of what I want to say to this, and again, I'm not going to dig too much into it, but thinking about all the sermons that I've ever heard in my life, and thinking about all the Bible studies that I've ever been to in my life, comparative to the songs, I can remember the songs a lot more, and I think most people can. There's actually a saying within the faith world that when somebody, after the sermon is done, by the time they get to the parking lot, the people forget what the sermon was actually about. So there's this element of but they probably can remember some of the worship songs. So the importance that these worship songs are form of theology. Now, where does this lead us into fitness, right? The idea that it's these things that we're doing on a daily basis. Now I'm going to tie this in. I already mentioned it that I have an athlete that I've been connecting with who's been working on her butterfly pull-ups. I also have a friend at home back in Canada who's been texting me almost every day saying, hey, I biked X number of kilometers today. I did X number of push-ups. I did X number of sit-ups. I did X number of squats today. And it's this behavioral pattern that's been changed. And now he's been able to message me and be like, hey, man, I've been going at this now for just over a month and I've lost 20 pounds. And it's because of this regular acting of behavior. It's not just a one-off type of thing like we would maybe correlate to a sermon or a Bible study, but it's the everyday act of doing those little things and of contributing to working on your butterfly pull-ups in this case, or like I said, going for like a 7.5 mile bike ride, right? So some of these things that are the regular pieces there. Now, I'm gonna just continue a little bit with what I wrote here. So arguably, therefore, a worship leader's responsibilities go beyond just organizing a fun Sunday worship sing-along, and that the theology presented in the music that they select shapes listeners' worldviews, beliefs, and influencing their actions. It's a privilege and a terrible way to have this impact. Now, one of the things that I've done since moving here to the Netherlands is I've registered a business. Pop it up here. Good rep, is the business that I registered here in the Netherlands. And what I'm intentionally trying to do with my business is coaching coaches, specifically within the area of fitness, and looking at how I can help them move along the journey and take advantage of the things that I learned and maybe didn't learn, and when I was going through education, and hopefully that they can learn from my mistakes or things without having to go through them necessarily themselves in the same way. But with that said, it's the same thing. So here, and replace the word worship leader with coach. So therefore, coach's responsibilities go beyond just organizing a workout. That these things are can impact somebody's daily life and influence how they live and act in life as well. And it's a privilege as a coach to be able to have that responsibility, but it's also a weight to have this responsibility that you can have this impact on people's lives. So maintaining theological integrity of the songs that the worship leaders lead is essential. Ensuring that the theological narrative and the lyrics align with the key tenets of their faith is important. Choosing musically pleasing songs, right? So again, looking at this from a fitness perspective, it's important to do the stuff that matters and not just to do the stuff that makes it fun and fluffy, right? So what I would address on this is it's important to dig in, and I'm going to say things like do the foundational movements. It's important to do things like squats. It's important to do things like burpees and deadlifts. Big multi-joint, multi-exercise or multi-muscle movements that are going to be functional and repetitive for daily life. It's important to keep those as your foundation and not just do something that's fun and hyped. Or right now, one of the things that's hyped up is HYROX. Are there good things about HYROX and HYROX training and HYROX competition? Absolutely. But it's not, I'm going to suggest that it's not the be all end all, just like running wouldn't be the be all end all, or powerlifting wouldn't be the be all and end all. But there is foundational pieces within those that we need to keep as the foundation and not just make something fun and fluffy so that it's fun and fluffy to do. But if we really want to build ourselves and dig into building ourselves from a faith and fitness perspective, as we're talking about on this podcast, then we have to keep those foundational pieces there. Okay. So the key to fulfilling this commitment is to choose carefully and thoughtfully, as this prevents the audience from being misled. And this is the same thing for fitness, right? So I'll give you an example here. Running is often touted as people want to lose weight, and I've briefly touched on this on the show before. But if somebody wants to lose weight, one of the first things you do is like, oh, I'm going to go buy some running shoes and go for a run. Well, running isn't necessarily the most effective means of weight loss, but over the years, we've had some really great marketing from companies who have that have made it sound like that running is the best way to lose weight, when in fact, actually building strength is probably one of the better ways to for doing weight loss, because it can have a longer term effect. Is as you build muscle mass, then it takes more calories for that muscle mass to exist and carries on and so on and so forth. Like I said, I've touched on this in the show before, and if we want to talk about it again, shoot me a message and I can add a little bit more to it. But there's been a little bit of a misleading in that if you want to lose weight, the first best thing to do is running. Can running contribute to losing weight? Absolutely. But is it the best way to go about it? Definitely not. So, making sure that we're keeping in line with what is truth, and not being deviating it away from that. So, last couple paragraphs of the piece that I wrote here. So, worship leaders are responsible for the theological direction in which they lead their congregations, giving the lasting impact of their songs that they've chosen. It's a role that requires a strong dedication to musical integrity and theological correctness. Worship leaders are educators, theologians, custodians of the faith, and performers. I would argue that these also apply to a coach when we're looking from a fitness perspective on things as well, in that the coach has these responsibilities. They're an educator, they're a custodian, they have to not have to be able to perform at the most elite level, but they should be able to somewhat at least demonstrate the movements and what the athlete is wanting to do. Worship leaders serve as the physical representation of the idea that theology is not an act but a habit. Again, replace worship leaders. Coaches serve as the physical representation that the idea of fitness is not an act but a habit. Worship leaders are uniquely positioned to shape the congregation's spiritual and moral habits through music influencing theology through repetition. Coaches are uniquely positioned to shape one's habits through repetition, right? As a result, it's important that our coaches and our worship leaders are accountable for their actions. Now, that may seem like an interesting sort of correlation, but and you're like, Mark, why are we talking about worship leaders on Faith and Fitness podcasts? Well, it really stems back to this piece of we are what we repeatedly do. And I'm going to just add to that. And I mentioned this earlier that there was something else I was going to share. And I'm going to share this into the podcast here as well. So there was an article written several years ago now by I would argue, suggest a guru in the fitness industry named Charles Poliquin. And it says that his sort of thesis statement or premise of his piece here is that discipline does not exist. There's only love. Love is the most powerful creative force in the universe, and you are the result of what you love the most. So I'm just going to read a little bit from what the writing here says. You either like rock hard abs more than donuts, or you like donuts more than having abs. So cut that you can do laundry on it. It's simple. Don't complain by saying that you are not disciplined. Don't drown in an ocean of carbs to silence remorse. Simply admit that you prefer eating junk food rather than being strong and healthy. Ask yourself the one question: what do you really like? Self-esteem is the reflection of judgment one makes on oneself. One of the best ways to raise your self-esteem is to make choices with self-love, choices that lead to increased physical and mental strength. For example, if you really like yourself, the gym you will choose squats with chains rather than leg extensions. At the restaurant, if you really like yourself, you will say no to the basket of hot bread that smells so good with the delicious melted butter, and instead ask for some extra lemons with your water. Lemons alkalize your body, which is beneficial for your bones and muscles, which improves your ability to handle stress. When faced with difficult choices, do you ask the question, depending on the context of of course, what would be the advice of a knowledgeable and well-meaning expert? For example, during a pec workout, would a well-meaning expert recommend a pec deck machine or dumbbell chest press? Choosing a dessert, would the well-meaning nutritionist recommend a bowl of red fruit with triple-decker brownie? Swimming in vanilla ice cream with rich in gluten and guaranteed to cause inflammation. So he has a couple points here listed. I'm just going to read the first few of them, but it says how to get rid of obsolete concept of discipline. Accept that your choices are reflections of what you really like slash love. Love is the most powerful creative force in the universe. Use it wisely. Choose to love yourself more than external things. When you take care of yourself, you increase the growth of your self-esteem. When was the last time you had a massage? Is a question that he's asking here. I want to just touch on this briefly. This point here that says love is the most powerful creative force in the universe. Use it wisely. Now, as an Anabaptist evangelical Christian, I adhere to the Corinthians version of love, being patient, being kind, not self-serving. But I think we can understand what Charles Poliquin is meaning in this context here, and how we tie that back to we are what we repeatedly do, right? And so he uses it from a reference of love perspective, and then he says He likens that love to self-esteem by making choices of to love yourself. So rather than choosing the donut, you're going to choose to do some exercise. Rather than choosing the bread, you're going to choose some water with lemon. Rather than choosing the brownie with all the ice cream, you're going to choose some fruit for dessert. And how this ties back to the concept of we are what we repeatedly do. If we look at these decisions that are being made are repeated decisions. So when we're having something to eat, are we choosing to have the berries rather than dessert? And if we do this on a regular basis, if we make this the repeated behavior, then this is where the change is going to happen. This is where these things are going to be making a difference into our lives on a regular basis by making those decisions. Now, this isn't to say don't ever have the brownie, don't ever have the donut, but to have those things as a one-off is different than to be having them on a regular basis. And that's kind of what Charles Poliquin here is talking about, the myth of discipline. And so suggesting that discipline does not exist, but rather love, and that love is the most powerful force. If you love yourself in the way that he's suggesting through self-esteem, and arguably you could say that the way that Christ loves you, right? Christ so loved you that he's willing to die for you. Now, I don't want to go too extreme with this and suggest that, well, that's the type of love that Christ had for you. Should you therefore maybe look at saying, well, he loved me so much, he's willing to die for me. I need to treat my body as a temple and love myself the way that he loved me, and I can never have this brownie. I'm not suggesting to go that far with this, but it is maybe worth exploring the thought of how much Christ loved you, that he was willing to die for you. And then to go, hey, am I being respectful of that decision and that choice that Christ made to love me and how I'm treating my body? Now, I'm not saying that we return back to, and I've touched on this briefly as well in the podcast before, that we return to this era of like muscular Christianity where there was these concepts of that you had to be strong and super fit to be representative of a Christian. And I'm not suggesting that we necessarily need to go back to that, but the idea that maybe if we take a look at the how we are living our lives and that what that meaning of love is, and if we go back to the text in Corinthians and take a look at that, I'm actually just going to pull that up on my computer here. This is the bonus now of also being on a podcast here, is that I have access to some of these things, or not podcasts, on YouTube, but being able to record differently, is that we have some of these things now, right? To be able to pull up the Corinthians verse that I wasn't able to do so previously. So 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, you've probably heard this before, but I'm going to read it again anyways for you. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. So that's 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. And you've probably heard it before, but just really taking into the concept this concept of love, right? And so I know that Poliquin used it in a different way. He was talking about self-esteem and self-love. But if we look at these things, be patient. If you're patient with yourself, are you kind to yourself? Are you not being envious of others? Are you not being proud, not dishonoring, not self-seeking, not easily angered, doesn't keep record of wrongs, right? So especially on the last one, even as I was saying it out loud, there's a tendency for people to be like, oh yeah, but I ate this or I drank that, and therefore I have to do this. And using fitness as almost as a form of punishment because of behavioral. So I ate this or I drank that, therefore I have to go and do exercise. And that's not And a couple of things there, I would suggest you're keeping a record of wrongs. You're keeping a record of wrongs saying, oh, I ate this, and it's weighing on your mind mentally that you kept that as a record of wrong. But then also using what could be a really positive thing, fitness, as almost as a form of punishment to compensate for maybe the wrong that you did, like, or a penance for what the wrong that you've done. And I hopefully we can change that mindset that you have, and looking at fitness from like a healthy perspective and saying, this is something that I'm excited to do. And as we tie it back into the theme of the show here is the we are what we repeatedly do, in that it becomes something that you do repeatedly, that is something that you can do on a daily basis. Now, I go to the gym about 4 to 5 times a week, and do a workout at the gym. I vary the intensity of those workouts. Sometimes it's like go as hard as you can, give everything you've got. Sometimes it's just like an 80%, just kind of get through it, enjoy the movements, go through it. And then there's other days like yesterday. So I generally don't work out on Sundays. And I had this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday that I generally don't work out on Sundays, but to go for a walk with my family. So another life update for you. I have a 2-year-old son now named Benaiah. And just recently, he's not quite, he'll be 2 weeks old tomorrow. Have another little boy named Caleb, and we were able to go for a walk as a family of four yesterday with my wife and their two boys. We were able to go for a walk, and just being able to get out of the house and move and do those things on a regular basis makes a huge difference. So even doing those a little bit of exercise and that little bit of movement on a regular basis is going to be good for you mentally, physically, socially. So just bringing those into what you're doing. So hopefully you have found this episode helpful on the reboot that we have for you. Episodes are gonna start coming out on the more regular. We'll be looking to have guests brought in on the show, hopefully as well. Doing this first one by myself. I am recording in our temporary house, I guess you could call it, in the Netherlands. We bought a house here about a year ago now, when we moved here, and we were looking at moving into a different house. My wife's family is got a sort of like a legacy property that they're rebuilding, and we're going to be able to rent that property from the family. And until then, we were living in a fairly traditional Dutch house, a row house, which is a big change from the house that we were living in Canada, where we had 10 acres of land. It took me a couple of hours to cut the grass of the tractor, to now living here where we actually don't have any grass at all. Our backyard is a few paving stones, and the front yard is pretty much just gravel because they're both areas are not very big. So it's been a bit of a shift. I will touch into some of those things on the podcast as well as we go into some of the future episodes and talking about how life has been different here, adjusting to the sunshine of the Canadian prairies to the rain of a coastal country has been a challenge as well. And then just as well as dealing with the number of people that are around. So obviously living in rural Canada. So when we moved to the Netherlands, I was living in rural Canada, working on a military base to just outside of Rotterdam, Netherlands. So a fairly large city in a small country, so there's lots of people around all the time. So those changes there have also been a little bit of something that's been a transition for me, obviously, as well as the language. Thankfully, the Dutch people are very good at speaking English, and it's been really good. Now, with that said, I will add that church has been a little bit of a challenge, as this is the Faith and Fitness podcast. So I will add that church has been a little bit of a challenge, and I'll probably do a specific episode with regards to that exact thing specifically. I am thankful, however, for the fact that some churches here do have English translation, because that's been really good for me to be able to still attend church and understand what's going on. For as much as I've been learning the language, and like I said, been here for 2 years now, and I can understand conversation fairly well. So if we're talking about daily conversation, I can understand it fairly well. But when it starts getting into a pastor speaking on a Sunday morning and he's talking about theological concepts or abstract concepts, I get completely lost with the Dutch. And so I'm really thankful that there is English translation for that. Now, bonus for you guys, if you with this being on YouTube, is that it could be translated into Dutch, as YouTube has that awesome feature where captions can be added into pretty much any language, and one of those would be Dutch that would be available for the show here. So, thanks for checking out the reboot. Thanks for rejoining me on the podcast. Thanks for tuning in for the first time on YouTube for the show. And I look forward to sharing many more episodes with you as we reboot this podcast. If you have show ideas, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. Send me a message about some show ideas, and I would be happy to look at how we can do that. If you're interested in being a guest on the show, please let me know, and I would be willing to talk with you and see how we can arrange that for you to be a guest on the show as well. Until then, I wanted to say, hey, this ties into what I was going to say. A jingle that was on when I was younger, there was what is the word I'm looking for here? There was a desire to push participation. So there's a whole participation campaign that was going on when I was younger. And one of the things was keep fit and have fun. And that jingle still sits with me. So it really ties in with the idea of a jingle and faith and fitness. But keep fit, have fun, and we'll see you again on the next episode of the Faith and Fitness Podcast.
Credit for the bass and drum audio track by Rick Deckert, provided by freesoundmusictrack.com.